Okay, good morning, everyone. An incredible zechus to be here with all of you again. Baruch Hashem, to have another week of learning. So we find ourselves still in Perek Aleph. So someone mentioned to me after last shiur that it was bad enough beforehand that we've been learning Tehillim for a number of years and are only up to capital, you know, whatever it was, 70-something, but now we're actually going backwards. I said, okay, you know what? That is the cyclical nature of life. When you think you finish one thing off and you'll find yourself right back in the beginning. So it's amazing to see that even after spending years on Sefer Tehillim, how much we can go back to Perek Aleph and still glean so much. So I'd like to continue to work our way through that initial phrase that we've been focusing on over the last number of shiurim. So remember, again, just to reframe everything, so the theme of Kapitel Aleph, the theme of the first chapter is Ashrei Ha'ish, is how do I go ahead and lead an Ashrei life? How do I lead a meaningful life in this world? So we've been speaking about the idea that David HaMelech first begins by really focusing on the things to avoid. So in past weeks, we focused on Lo Halach Ba'atzas Rishoim, So Derech HaToim, and this week I'm going to bring you to the end of that phrase, which again is the end of Pasuk Aleph. Ubimoshav Leitzim Lo Yashav. So David HaMelech says, if you want to go ahead and have an Ashrei life, a praiseworthy life, a meaningful life, then one must literally, we'll just use a little translation that's on the sheet, one must not sit in the company of scorners. So interestingly enough, the definition, the translation that's used here for Leitzim is a scorner. Now the truth is, the word Leitz in Hebrew often is translated in different ways. So Leitz can be a scorner, but Leitz is often translated also as a mocker. Someone who makes a mockery of everything. Someone who doesn't take anything seriously. So David HaMelech comes along and says that the pathway to Ashrei, the pathway to praiseworthy, is do not sit in the company of a Leitzim. So what I'd like to focus on today, Shir, Meretz Hashem, time permitting, to go through four different approaches in terms of understanding what does it mean not to sit in the company of Leitzim. So I want to go a little bit out of order, actually. If you begin with number 7 on your sheet, which is Dradak. So the Radak writes, very interesting idea, HaLeitzim Him Ha'arumim Bedas. These are people who are very cunning. Lara, people who are very cunning. See, a lot of times you think that a Leitz is like a fool, a mocker, someone who's not very smart, very wise. And Radak says, no, in fact, the Leitz is often someone who's exceptionally wise. But he uses his wisdom in a very cunning, almost inappropriate fashion. Meaning what? He says, Bedas lara, umiska'im umidabrim ra'os al b'nei adam, v'nosnim dofi umum bahem, Umegalim sod zelazed. This is incredible. Says Radak, who is the Leitz? The Leitz is a person who always speaks badly about every other person. That's the Leitz. They have something bad to say about everyone. And not only that, but even when the Leitz is trusted, is told something in confidence, he does not keep that confidence. He breaks those bonds of trust and goes on to reveal the secrets of others to additional third parties. He goes on and he says, so interesting, so says Radak, and this is really an incredible definition. The Leitz is someone who speaks negatively about everyone. They have something, the Lashon over here, Medabrim Ra'os al b'nei Adam. They speak bad about people. They're revealer of secrets. So says David HaMelech, if you want to lead an Ashrei life, avoid people like this. Now, it's interesting because you'll say to yourself, well, how do you avoid people like this? People like this are all around us. So David HaMelech says, you're right. Sometimes you can't avoid interacting. But what can you avoid? Ubemoshav leitzim lo yashav. You could avoid sitting down with them. Now, before I delve into this, this in general is part of David HaMelech's motif and his kapitel, that sometimes in life you could avoid negative things, but sometimes you can't. In other words, some things in life, I could just seem like going back like 2 shiurim ago, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Derech Chotim, I could go ahead and avoid certain things. Other things I can't avoid. The things in life you can't avoid, your avoda, your job then becomes, don't sit down. Don't spend too much time. See, even if you can't avoid it, allow it to be a quick encounter. Move on. Don't sit down, don't make your place, don't settle down with that negativity. And I was thinking about this Moshe Leitzin, how incredibly important this is and contemporarily relevant it is. You know, we are living in times where it is so commonplace to bash people. Whether it's to bash a president, whether it's to bash a president-elect, whether it's to bash whatever it is, understand what David HaMelech is saying, is there are ways to talk about things. And there are ways to speak about, again, your displeasure with the actions of other individuals. The Leitz is the person who speaks in such negative and disparaging terms about others. See, it doesn't mean that what the Leitz is saying is untrue. It could be that what the Leitz is saying is 1,000% unequivocally true. But what makes a person an ashrei person is how you talk. How do you speak? So you want to share something negative? And again, I think this is such an important lesson, because the truth is, in our contemporary society, we've lost all filters about how we talk about other people. Because the way we feel is, as long as what I'm saying is correct, I have the right to express it however I want. And David HaMelech says, that is unequivocally false. Or maybe said differently, it's not false. You can do that if you want to, but then you're not an ashrei person and you're not leading an ashrei life. The ashrei person avoids the leitzim. And who are the leitzim? The leitzim are the ones who deconstruct other people with the most powerful weapon in this world, their mouth. They deconstruct people, they debase people with their words. And every word might be factually true, and every statement might be factually correct. But how you talk, the way in which you use your speech, that truly determines the kind of person you are. Therefore, Moshe Leitzim Lo Yoshev says that Radak means that a person is careful about how they talk. Not just about, see, sometimes we focus on, is what I'm saying true or false? And if it's false, of course, I should avoid it. But if it's true, I reserve the right to articulate it however I want. And David HaMelech says, that's false. That's not true. Ashrei Ha'ish, the person who wants to lead a praiseworthy life, is a person who is careful with the way he expresses or she expresses all ideas. The ones that are false, I avoid from expressing those ideas. But even the ones that are true, I am careful with how I talk. And we have to take this lesson to heart. In general, it's a good idea to avoid all political conversations these days, as they generally never end well and will usually cost you a friendship or potentially even a family member. But again, if you do engage in political discourse, do it like a Jew. Do it like David HaMelech. Do it like Ashrei. Talk respectfully. Talk with dignity. Don't use your koach haloshen, your koach hapeh, to deconstruct. And even if you think someone is dead wrong, 100%, and understand, this is what society as a whole has lost. We are living in a society of leitzim. In a society of leitzim. Why? Because people comment on things and insert opinions with one-line deconstructive statements, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's on Facebook. There is no longer an art of communication, because an art means you put a little bit of thought into it. Unfortunately, we live in a society of verbal vomit. If you think it, you automatically say it, and you don't even have to worry about who it upsets, who it offends, or how it sounds. Maybe that's the way society wants to conduct itself, but our job is to be an Or LaGoyim. Our job is to be a light unto the nations. And David HaMelech says the way you become a light unto the nations is by leading an Ashrei life. And one of the ways in which you read an Ashrei life is don't be a letz. Don't be the kind of person who speaks in derogatory, negative, harmful terms. Even if every word you're saying is true, be careful how you say it. Back up to number two. So that what I have is the first approach on the sheet. So that's the approach of the Radak. The Al-Sheikh says something a little bit different. This is actually quite beautiful. The Al-Sheikh writes, Gam she'amad bein hametaplim ledaber sicha b'teila. So the Al-Sheikh writes something very interesting. He says that ultimately, again, who are the Leitzim? The Leitzim are the people who speak sicha b'teila. What's sicha b'teila? right? I guess we would translate this today as small talk. Small talk, making small talk, right? So again, I'm not talking Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom, I'm not saying anything negative, I'm not disparaging. It's just that what I'm saying really has absolutely no importance to it. Hanikra Leitzim, so says the Al-Sheikh, that's what I mean, Moshev Leitzim Lo Yoshev, don't sit around with people who are just making small talk. And this is an incredible idea because I find it fascinating. People are so uncomfortable with silence. We're so uncomfortable with it, right? That's why we strike up these conversations that are so inane, right? They're so meaningless and they don't have anything to do with anything. But somehow I'm going to be construed as being unfriendly if I don't talk or if I don't engage. But there's a power to silence. There's a power. Chazal speak about this in number two in the Gemara Masechas Megillah. Writes, "Ami Ma'arav in Eretz Yisrael." They said, "Mila b'sela." If a word is worth one sela, one coin, mishtuka betrain, then silence is worth two coins. You hear this? If word is worth one coin, then silence is worth two. And in number four, the Rebbe of Rizhin, the Rizhiner, the great tzaddik of Rizhin, said as follows. He explained this idea as follows. How do you read it? A masa hamila shavasela. When is your word worth a sela, a coin? Kasher shtei pamim kimosa nishar itzala omer shel omer rak shasak. Your word is worth a sela when two out of three times you decide not to talk and remain silent. See, he reads, in other words, if you look at number three, he reads it a little bit differently. Whereas a simple reading is mila b'sela, one word is worth a sela. If one word is worth a sela, then silence is worth two. The Rishoner says, here's how you read it. Mila b'sela. When are your words worth something? Only mishtuka betrain. Only when you're silent two out of the three times. If two out of three times you want to say something, you hold back, then the third time, the one third of the time that you speak, that'll usually really be something of incredible importance and incredible meaning. See, here you see the Gemara. See, same idea. Shammai says in number five, Emor ma'at v'yaseh harbe. Speak a little and do a lot. So there's two ways to understand this idea. So according to the Al-Sheikh, the late is just someone who speaks unnecessarily. And David HaMelech says, if you want to go ahead and lead an Ashrei life, avoid unnecessary chatter. So this is not a new concept to us. Unnecessary, and again, I want to be clear. We're not talking about something illegal or illicit. We're not talking about inappropriate speech or harmful speech or detrimental speech. We're just talking about nothingness. Again, the small talk. Says David HaMelech, avoid the small talk in life. So what's the logic of that? So what Shammai's idea, you know, what does he mean? Amor mata serabe. So on a very simple level, the more you talk, the greater the statistical probability that you're going to say something you're going to regret, that you're going to say something inappropriate, you're going to say something harmful or hurtful. Therefore, conventional wisdom is measure your words. Two out of three, two-thirds of the time when you're ready to say something, says the Rishoner, don't say it. What an incredible way to live. Two-thirds out of the time when you are ready to say something, don't say it. And then that one-third of the time that you do speak, oh, that word, that sentence, that phrase, that dialogue is going to be worth so much. But there's another piece to this about not talking. If you take a look at number six on your sheet, this is an incredible Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. I've always been intrigued by this Mishnah. So the Mishnah writes, Shimon beno Omer. This is Shimon ben Gamliel. So Shimon Gamliel said as follows. He said, Kol yomai gadalti ben hacham. All of my days I grew up amongst sages. I grew up amongst wise people. V'lomatzasi l'guftov el ashtika. I found nothing better for the body than silence. If he goes on, it's not the learning that's the ikar, rather it's action. And the more you talk, you bring sin onto yourself. So it always intrigued me. Here's Shimon is the son of Rabbi Gamliel. He grew up in the house of the Gadol Hadar. He sees all of the great Rabbanim of the generations going through his home. So it's interesting to see like the life lessons he took. I found nothing better for the body than silence. The more you talk, the more you bring sin. And it always intrigued me. That's the greatest lesson you learn. Like that's the take. Out of all the things you saw in your father's home, you grew up amongst great men. The greatest lesson you had in life is if you talk a lot, you get yourself into trouble. Now, the truth is, so all of us know, because I would venture to say that most of us have gotten ourselves into trouble at some point in time with something we've said. It's just the nature of the human condition. Right? I think many of us could think back, if we could go back in time and change one, two, three things, usually it would not be things that we did, but often would be things that we said. So I understand the sentiment. But why is that the most important lesson? And Rav Yisrael Meir Lau in his Parish and Pirkei Avos, I didn't put this on the sheet, I'll leave this outside. He says something absolutely amazing. He says, we often translate chet as sin. He says, but the true etymology of the word chet means a void or an absence, which of course makes sense, because I'll give you another example of this. We often translate tuma as impurity, but that's not really what tuma means. What tuma really means is, right, is the absence of purity, is a vacuum. There's no purity here. There's a vacuum, there's an emptiness. That emptiness, that void, that's called tuma. What's chet? Chet doesn't really translate as sin. The better definition for chet is a void of emptiness, right? Or is an emptiness, a void of goodness, where there should have been holiness, where there should have been purity, where there should have been godliness. Now there's emptiness. That's called chet. That's called chet. So Rabbi Lau says something absolutely amazing. He says, what is Shimon Gamliel saying? There are two different types of people in this world. There are people who talk about what they are going to do, and then there are people who do what they're going to do. And there are some people, they have the most incredible plans. Incredible plans. They have it mapped out. There's this week plan. There's the 1 year plan. The 5 year plan. The 10 year plan. I know what I'm going to be doing when I'm 20, when I'm 40, when I'm 60, when I'm 80, when I'm 119. I have it all mapped out. Only one challenge. They're on their deathbed and they haven't done any of it. And then there are people who speak very little, because life is not really about talking about your plan. Life is about executing your plan. Says Rabbi Lau, that's the meaning of Shimon Gamliel's statement. Kala marbe dvarim, whoever spends life talking about what they're going to do, mevi chet, creates a void, an emptiness inside. Because all of that energy that was spent talking should have been spent doing. And this is the meaning of Shammai also. Emor ma'at va'aseh harbe. Don't spend your life talking about what you're going to do. Do it. And perhaps if we plug this back, this is what David HaMelech meant by the Leitzim. Who are the Leitzim? Who are the Leitzim? A Leitz is someone who tells you all about their dreams and aspirations, all about their goals, all about the finish lines they want to cross, all the things I want to accomplish in life, all the wrongs I want to right, all the things that are broken that I want to fix. And they talk and they talk and they talk and they talk. There's only one problem. They never do. They fail to launch. They never execute. Says David HaMelech, if you want to lead an Ashrei life, u'bimoshav leitzim lo yashav, don't surround yourself with talkers. Surround yourself with doers. Surround yourself with doers. The leitzim, again, not necessarily bad. They just talk a lot. They just talk a lot. And maybe their talk, by the way, is maybe even very meaningful. Maybe their talk is aspirational talk, dream-filled talk, goal-filled talk. That's fantastic. A person could spend a lifetime talking about all the things they want to do and yet not accomplish one thing. You want to lead an Ashrei life? Surround yourself with doers. But whatever you do, Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav, avoid the talkers. And this is an incredible yisod in general, because life is all about this balance. We've spoken about this, I feel, many times throughout the years, that life is this incredible balance between planning and doing, right? There are some people who are professional planners. That's what they do. They plan, and their plans are beautiful, and their plans are excellent and very well refined and very well thought out. Only one little detail. They never execute, because they spend all of their energy, all of their time, and all of their resources on planning. So there's no like bandwidth left for actual execution. Then there are some people just kind of live life by the seat of their pants. Don't plan at all and kind of go wherever the wind blows them. That's not good. Those are the extremes. The extremes are never good. In life, you have to have some level of planning. But here's what I think is often the mistake we make, is that we think that any meaningful initiative has to be fully planned out. Fully planned out. Klal gadol in life, you can't fully plan out anything, right? We know this on a very simple level. Try planning out your entire day. I try to do this. I try to allocate all of the hours. I took the mussar from last week's shir about billable hours. So I tried to go ahead and plan out all of the hours. So I started with it after last week's shir. And I have to tell you, confession, it hasn't worked one day. Now it's worked. I've planned out. But not one day has gone according to that schedule that I put out for myself at 8 o'clock in the morning. It just didn't work. Not because I was lazy, not because I went to play golf, not because I took the day off, but just because that's it. You can plan as much as you want. There's always those outliers. There's always those events that occur. So obviously you have to plan, but don't spend your life planning. And don't wait for the perfect plan, or better stated, don't wait for the plan to be perfected, fully polished and finished before you act. Because if you wait for the plan to be fully polished, finished and perfected until you act, you're never going to accomplish anything in life. So the second approach, according to the Al Sheikh, the Rishoner, Shammai, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, excuse me, Isuba Moshav Leitim Lo Yashav, don't spend your life surrounded by talkers. Don't spend your life surrounded by planners. An ashrei life requires a little bit of planning, or maybe even a good amount of planning. But more important, an ashrei life requires a healthy dose of execution. We go on now to number 8 on your sheet. The Ben Poras Yosef, who was Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoy, Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, so he writes as follows. I'm sorry. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. So Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoy writes as follows in number 8. He writes, Ubemoshav Leitzim Liyoshev, what does it mean not to sit in the company of Leitz? And what does that mean? Look what he writes. Kiem Yosef Yechidi Lehisbode Lekadish Machshavto. What's my goal in life? My goal in life is I have to make sure to sit alone in order to contemplate and to sanctify my thoughts. Neged Bria Neshama. To contemplate the creation of my soul. See, interestingly enough, according to the Ben Paras Yosef, the definition of a leitz is someone who doesn't take time to think. Right? A leitz just doesn't take time to think. Never takes time to think. Now again, that means he's occupied, he's talking, he's doing, whatever it is. But a leitz is someone who never sets aside time for introspection, for contemplation, for thought about who I am, what I am, what's my soul, where am I going, what am I doing. That's a leitz. Now let's talk about this in just a moment. And therefore David HaMelech says, Ashrei Ish, if you want to lead a meaningful life, Lo Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav, don't hang around with the leitzim, because the leitzim avoid introspection. The leitzim avoid alone time. The leitzim avoid being alone with their thoughts. Now let's talk about this. Why would a person avoid being alone with their thoughts? So deep down, we know the answer to this. Because at the end of the day, being alone with myself is sometimes a very overwhelming challenge. Because I'm often forced to confront inconsistencies. I'm forced to confront faults. I'm forced to confront fractures. I'm forced to confront negative behaviors. I'm forced to confront that I haven't really lived up to my potential. I'm forced to confront that I haven't crossed my finish line. So a lot of times, this goes back before to what we mentioned before, a lot of times the reason we're uncomfortable with silence is because the only thing really to do with a moment of silence is to introspect. And I'm a little bit nervous to introspect because I'm nervous to confront a lot of the things about myself that I don't really want to confront. So what does the leitz do? The leitz does everything and anything to just avoid silence, to avoid introspection. So isn't this incredible? Think about this for just a moment. You know, and I guess this depends kind of what age you are, what demographic you are. Person has a free moment today So what are we conditioned to do if you have a free moment today? You check your email, WhatsApp, text messages. That's what you do. You just pull out, you know, what do I have going on? Or you look what's going on in the news, or you look this, or if you're whatever social media platform you may be on. It's so interesting that as a society, we run so far away from silence. Because I think as a society, we are scared to introspect. Because unfortunately, there's so much decay and there's so much decadence. There's so much good and there's so much beauty. But there are so many things that have begun to unravel that it's almost like we have been conditioned not to spend quiet time with ourselves. That's Leitzanus. Leitzanus, the mockers, the scoffers that David HaMelech are talking about are the people who don't want to take the time to look inward. It's hard to look inward. You know, we're talking amongst friends now. It's really hard to look inward. We like to think that, yes, introspection is important. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as to who likes introspection. Because if you're honest, no one likes introspection. No one likes it. In Elul, Yamim Noraim, we're forced to do it. So we do it. And we pretend like, oh, it's such a gift. It's so wonderful. I hate to have to look inward. Because you know what? I love the rest of the year. You know what's great about the rest of the year? Everything is great. Everything is fine. I did something. I don't have to worry about it. I've got time. I'll focus on when I have to. Introspection is the key to successful living. Because, and by the way, this is the hallmark of every single one of the Sifrei Musar. And this is true whether you learn Chassidish Musar, Litvish Musar, Yeshivish, whatever it is. Introspection is the key to everything. Because without introspection, how do I take my personalistic temperature? Right? We could relate to this now, right? If you teach in school, you have kids going to school, you can't do anything without a temperature check these days. By the way, I think it's one of the great pieces of Musar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us lessons each and every day. Isn't it incredible? I know in my house, right? It's the thing, the thermometer is out, the forms are printed. Everybody's got to do a temperature check. You can't go into school without a temperature check. And if you try, they'll turn you around. As they should. What a musser. Every single day I have to take a personalistic temperature check. Like, isn't that my avoda? Every single day, what's my temperature? Where am I holding? I don't mean with the electronic thermometer with my forehead. I mean internally. What's my internal temperature? Am I running hot? Am I running cold? Right? Where am I holding? Am I healthy? Am I a little bit perhaps spiritually ill? Where am I holding in life? The Leitz is the one who avoids that introspection at all costs. I don't want to look into myself. The hallmarks of the Leitz, hallmarks, right? The signs to tell if you're a Leitz, Chas v'Shalom. The Leitz blames everyone else for everything. Right? Anything that's a problem, I could tell you whose fault it is. It's my mother. It's my sister. It's my brother. It's my teacher. Do you have any involvement with the problems? No. Not me. Not me. I'll give you an alphabetical order, right, of who is responsible, and I could rank them even from most responsible to least responsible, but one thing is clear to me. I want to tell you the truth. In any life challenge, there's always some responsibility, always some personalistic responsibility. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Of course, I'm not talking about tragic circumstances that are visited upon us. But in most situations of life dysfunction, I have some level of involvement in it. Something true, there are exceptions to this rule. But again, the late, everything is someone else's fault. That's the telltale sign of late sonus. The late always has the capacity to be in a good mood, always has the capacity, again, to feel carefree. Because the truth is, if you don't introspect, it's easy to be carefree. Because if you don't introspect, then at the end of the day, there's nothing really to work on. There's nothing to be worried about. So David HaMelech says, it might look like an easier life. It's great to blame everyone else. Great to blame everyone else. And it's great to be carefree. It's great, but it's not Ashrei. And if you want an Ashrei life, u'bemoshav Leitzim lo yashav. You must avoid the company of those people who avoid introspection at all costs. Because the key to success in life is taking your internal personalistic temperature daily. Carving out the time to understand, where am I holding in life? What am I doing? Therefore, David HaMelech says, if you want Ashrei, you must avoid the hashkafa of late sanas. And for our last approach, I bring you to number 10. So in number 10, this is actually quite amazing. There's a fascinating medrash. The medrash writes, Ubemoshav leitzim lo yashav. What does it mean? He did not sit in the company of leitzim. Ze dar haflaga. A really interesting medrash. This is the generation of the dispersion. So we know the story, right? You're familiar with the story. End of Parshas Bereishis. End of Parshas Bereishis. So I'm sorry, in the end of Parshas Noach, right? So again, remember, again, even after Noach has come out of the table, rebuilds humanity, doesn't take too long until, unfortunately, humanity rebels again against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you take a look at number 11 on your sheet, Vahi kala aretz safa achas udvar mechadim. This is actually a very beautiful pasuk if you think about it. The entire earth was one language. Dvarim Echadim means literally uniform words, but it also means that they were unified in their mission in life. So what happens? One person said to his fellow, "Hava nilbena levene ben Israfal esreifa. Let's go ahead, make bricks, fire them thoroughly. Vatilahem alavena leeven vachemra hayalachomer." So the bricks were stones, the clay was mortar. And then what did they do? Vayomru, hava nivne lanu ir umigdav rosh v'shoim. Let's build a tower. Let's build a tower and let allow the tower to go ahead and extend all the way up into the heavens. V'nasen lanu shem penafutz apenei kal ha'aretz. And let us make ourselves a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the entire earth. So again, in general, this is a strange story because it's not exactly clear what they're doing, right? It's not. We know they want to build a tower. Why do they want to build a tower? Let's make for ourselves a name in order to avoid being scattered. So again, the Mefarshim have many different interpretations, right? That at the end of the day, maybe they were talking about another flood. They were building this tower literally like to bolster the heavens. Or according to some, they were building a tower to ascend to the heavens to do war with God. Okay, it's not explicit in the text what exactly the problem was. Skip to number 12. Now skip, but go to number 12. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what's going on. And he says, Vayomer Hashem, Hein am echad v'safa achas l'kulam. Because they are one people and have one language. V'hechilav lasos. That as a result of this, because they are one people, one language, that's why they're building this tower. Therefore, va'ata lo yibatzer mehem kol hashei yazmu lasos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to allow to happen what they plan to do. Hava nerda v'navla sham svasan. Let's go ahead and let's mix up their languages. Therefore, they won't be able to communicate with each other. They won't be able to build the tower. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does so. Languages are mixed up. Everyone dissipates. The project is abandoned. There's an incredible medrash. The medrash writes that when they were building the tower, well, let's understand. What is the sin here, right? What is the avera of Migdal Baba? Because remember again, when you go ahead and you read the psukim, it's not clear what the problem is. In fact, if anything, it actually sounds like society has a lot going for it. What do they have going for them? Unity. They seem to be unified, right? Vayhi. Remember again, what does the pasuk say? They're safa achas udvar machadim. They speak one language. They're unified in purpose, and they decide, let's do something together. So all of humanity gets together to build this tower. Seems like a pretty incredible thing, doesn't it? Now, granted, Rashi, other mafarshim explain, but what is the problem here? Meaning, what is the core issue? See, and here's what's interesting: how does whatever the problem is, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu remedy the problem? He mixes up their languages. By mixing up their languages, they can no longer work together. And because they can no longer work together, they dissipate. They dissipate upon the face of the earth. What is happening over here? So Rav Shaul Schoenfeld Hirsch, number 13, says something absolutely amazing. The last source. Rav Hirsch writes, he says, the organized community misused its power. This is incredible. The organized community misused its power. A precious treasure is entrusted to the community, namely the individual. And the task of the community is to call the individual b'shem Hashem. But the community called only b'shem atzmo and sought to subjugate the individual to its rule. Rav Hirsch says something absolutely amazing. He says the challenge of the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of the tower, the age of dispersion, their entire hashkafa was the only thing that matters is the collective. the individuality is totally unimportant. All that matters is the collective, and the individual is only important vis-a-vis the collective. He goes on. The individual then rose up and declared, I do not recognize my... So skip down a little bit. Skip to the last paragraph. This subjectivity which defines things not as a community, wishes them to be defined. So let me tell you, before we go on, let me explain what's happening over here. I'm going to say the rest of Rav Hirsch outside. Rav Hirsch is highlighting something amazing. And really what Rav Hirsch is focusing on is a Medrash, which you don't have on your sheet. The Medrash relates that when they were building the tower, you know, if a person fell off the scaffolding and died, they didn't stop the work. No one said anything. But if someone dropped the brick and the brick broke, everyone cried. Everyone cried. Rav Shem Shneur Falk Hirsch says, what was the sin of the Dor HaFlaga? The sin of the Dor HaFlaga was, individuality doesn't matter. All that matters is the collective. You have no worth on your own. You have no worth as an individual. The only worth and the only meaning you have is as part of the larger group. And the Ribono Shel Olam understood that a mindset like that is incredibly detrimental and incredibly dangerous. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, of course there is power in the collective. And of course there is a meaning in belonging to something bigger than yourself. But we also each possess a koach of individuality. We also each possess a koach of an individual personality. Each of us are also important and significant on our own. On our own. And therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu remedy the Dor HaFlaga? He mixes up their languages. By mixing up their languages, what does he do? He assigns each of them a unique individual identity. No longer can humanity be looked at as one humanistic mass, but instead the assignment of individual languages, the division of dialects, now forces everyone to go out on their own, thereby asserting their individuality. The sin of the Dor HaFlaga, the sin of the generation who built the tower, was not necessarily a rebellion against God. Their sin was a sin against humanity. They wanted to say humanity is only meaningful. Human beings are only meaningful as part of a collective. But as an individual, you have no worth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that is unequivocally false. The individual has dramatic worth. So the Medrash says, Ubamesh Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav. Who are the Leitzim? What's a Leitz? Dor HaFlaga. Leitzonus is the belief that the individual only has meaning and purpose when he or she is part of the collective. But on their individual level, there is no individualistic meaning or purpose, and that is unequivocally false. And this is an incredibly important lesson for us, because don't we experience this dialectic? I am a member of Am Yisrael. I'm privileged to be a member of the Jewish people. I am privileged to be part of something so much bigger than myself. But yet at the end of the day, I am also an individual. I am an individual. And I almost have like this split personality, a healthy split personality. I am a member of the collective, a member of Am Yisrael, but I'm also Shmuel Silber. I'm also my own person. And too often, we focus on our identity vis-a-vis the collective, but we forget to cultivate our own unique personal identity. Who am I? What are my kohos? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What is my contribution to this world? I don't just mean like, what's my contribution to like right now to my family? What's my contribution to the world? What is the mark I'm going to leave here? How do I make the world different? What makes me different than you? What makes me unique? Because if I'm the same as you and you're the same as me, then why does Hashem need both of us? What's my unique identity? Now, I'll tell you something amazing. David HaMelech conducted a census. An illegal census, right? Remember, again, you're not allowed to count Jews by number. Historically, when we took a census, you would collect Jews usually, again, by half shekelim. It's right to remember the collection of the half shekel served two purposes. It replenished the temple coffers, the Beis HaMikdash funds for communal sacrifices, and also allowed us to go out and conduct the census. You can't count people. David HaMelech conducted a census. He counted Jews. And after that, there was a plague. So if Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kok asks a simple question, he says, David, why are you conducting a census? You know you're not allowed to count people. So what's going on over here? How can you make such an egregious error? By the way, an egregious error that cost people their lives. How can you do that? And Rav Kook says something amazing. Listen to these words. Rav Kook explained, David HaMelech knew that when he died, Shlomo would reign, and Shlomo would build the Beis HaMikdash. And what does the Beis HaMikdash do? The Beis HaMikdash is the great unifier. You know, I often say, one of the things that's going to be very difficult for us when Mashiach comes is that, you know, there's only one Beis HaMikdash. I just want to point this out. It's not like there's an Ashkenazic Beis HaMikdash and a Sephardic Beis HaMikdash, a Young Israel Beis HaMikdash, and a Yeshivish Beis HaMikdash, Modern Orthodox Beis HaMikdash, Centrist Orthodox Beis HaMikdash, Haredi Beis HaMikdash. You know, the greatest feat when Mashiach comes, this is what I can't wait to see more than anything when Mashiach comes, is, it's not, by the way, Tchias HaMeis, I was going to tell you, resurrection of the dead does not wow me at all. What's going to wow me much more is getting all of Klal Yisrael into one building. Actually get, because again, the dead are generally very compliant. You tell them to die, they die. You tell them to rise, they rise. They're not going to argue the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The dead follow direction. The living are much more complicated. So the Beis HaMikdash comes along and the Beis HaMikdash unites everyone. David HaMelech had a fear. His fear was that in this desire to create a centralized location, will people become anonymous? In this desire, ultimately, again, to go ahead and bring everyone together, will people lose their individuality? And so what does David HaMelech do? Granted, it's a mistake. He counts every person individually. What was he looking to reinforce in one of his final acts as a monarch? The individuality of each and every Jew. It is true that we are part of the collective. It is true that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. But we are each individuals. And our avoda in life is to exercise our individuality. And this is so incredibly important because I'm not sure that we really do this or embrace this. We like to speak about individuality, but we don't really like individuality. Because what happens when someone dresses different than the way we think they should dress? Or when someone acts different than the way we should act? Or if someone goes ahead and gets a job when we think they should be learning? Or learns when we think that they should be getting a job? What's going on over here? They're not following the norm. They're not following the norm. Do you know why there's a shidduch crisis, by the way? My two cents why there's a shidduch crisis. It's not because there's too many boys, too many girls, or too many this. It's because, again, you ask a boy, what are you looking for? And it's great. He'll rattle off to you, she needs to go to this seminary, ba 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 ba. And you want to say, you're an idiot. You'll excuse me for using that. You don't know what you're talking about. You're 20 whatever years old. You don't know about life. You don't know what you're talking about. But instead, this is it. This is what you got. This is what you got. And you ask a girl, what do you want? Well, I want someone who's going to learn for 5 to 7 years, but then he's going to be incredibly successful in business. He's going to be very wealthy. We're going to be very happy. So we have the Gashmias and the Ruchnias. We have everything together. Shalom Yisrael. Children will be tzaddikim, but they'll also be professionals. Fantastic. And you say, you also don't know what you're talking about. But instead, what happens? There's a system. There's a system, and the system, everything, we have to dress the same way, we have to talk the same way, we have to drive the same cars, we have to live in the same homes, there's an expectation that is created, and individuality is eliminated. And David HaMelech says, you know what that's called? That's called Moshav Leitzim. So when you define a good boy, what's a good boy? He's been learning for 5 years. So that's your definition of a good boy. That's Leitzanus. Because the good boy could also be one who's been working for 7 years and is Kovei Itim LaTorah. And if you define the good girl as the one who was valedictorian of her class and went to, you know, BJJ, went to whatever, any seminar, if that's how you define the good girl, that's also Leitzanus. Because what you're doing is you're negating the individuality of every single person. And if you think that a frum person has to look like this, like this, like this, and act like this, like this, like this, that's also Leitzanus. Because you're stamping out the individuality of the individual and just making a person like part of the collective. When you think that everyone has to look the same way and you create definitions that everyone must live up to, you're a member of the Dor HaFlaga. That's the generation who built the tower. The generation who built the tower said everyone needs to be part of the collective. We talk like this, we dress like this, we look like this, we act like this, and that's and if you don't fit in, if you don't fit in, if you don't speak the language, you don't want to walk the walk, then I'm sorry, you're not part of the collective. There's no room for individuality, says David HaMelech. That's Leitzonus. Because the greatest thing, the greatest accomplishment in life is to live with this split personality. Yes, I'm part of a collective. I'm part of a collective. And it is a schus to be part of Klal Yisrael. And yes, there is a piece of me that is only meaningful because I am part of something bigger than myself. There is, you see, if I just lived by myself on a desert island, just by myself, I could have all the svarim in the world, and I could have all the shurim in the world. There's a piece of me that's going to be deficient because I can't be with my people. Why do we have such an emphasis and a stress on community, tefillah b'tzibur, learning Torah b'tzibur? Because again, there's a part of me that can only be fully actualized when I'm a member of the collective, but that's not my totality. There is a piece of me that is uniquely me. There is a piece of me that is different than you, that is supposed to be different than you, that has to be actualized. If Rav Shlomo Shlofo Hirsch writes, he says, you know, we begin Shemona Esrei with the Brach of Avos. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So what happens? So why do we begin with that bracha? So we often assume that it's because of schus avos. I'm going to ask God for a lot of stuff, and if I don't have the merit to get it on my own, I ask the merit of avos. Rav Shlomo Shlofo Hirsch says that's not the reason. The reason we do it is because even though we all daven the same words in Shemona Esrei, each of us has a unique and different relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Unless you say, nah, we should all have the same relationship. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Have you ever met three people more different than the three patriarchs? Same thing with the four matriarchs. They are not carbon copies. You know, even Rivka Imenu, who they look for, like, you know, chesed, she's dramatically different than Sarah. Avram's dramatically different than Yitzchak. Yitzchak is dramatically different than Yaakov. It's not just that they davened at three different times of the day. They were three different people. So what does it tell you? See, you would have thought that the Avos and the Imos would all be the same. After all, isn't that the best way to create a solid foundation? Three of the same patriarchs, three of the same matriarchs. Good, that's it. They're dramatically different. Each of them are different in their own way. They have different midos, they have different temperaments, they have different life goals and aspirations. All three were different. Think about this. We invited the Yishpizin into our sukkah not so long ago. Think about the people we invited for the Yishpizin. Are any of them the same? Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, Yosef. Each of them different. Each of them different. Isn't this amazing? All of them part of the same klal. All of them part of the same people. Just each of them uniquely different. Uniquely different. And this is the yesod. To celebrate the fact that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. And to try to figure out what can I do to improve my klal. But at the same time to celebrate my individuality as well. You know, as parents we often find this tension. You know, that sometimes, you know, we know the Pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Chanoch lena api darko, right? Educate the child according to his way. And again, even Chazal tell us, find the individuality in your child. And every parent likes to say, oh, I want to find the individuality in my child. But what are they often thinking? They say, of course I embrace my child's individuality. But what am I really thinking? Why can't you just be like your siblings? Right? Why can't you just be like this one? Or why can't you just be like that one? So we like to say we embrace individuality, but the truth is individuality is really complicated and causes a whole host of issues. But when you stifle individuality, that's Leitzonus. When everybody has to be the same, that's Leitzonus. When everybody has to talk the same, look the same, act the same, behave the same, actualize in the same way, that's the Dor HaFlaga. That's the generation who built the tower. Celebrate the fact that you're part of something bigger than yourself, but also find a way to cultivate your individuality. And I think a lot of us don't really know what our individuality is. What makes me unique? I don't know. And it kind of goes back. Why don't I know? Because a lot of time, I'm a little bit of a let's in a different way that I don't take time to think. You know, to figure out what your individuality is. You know, it doesn't just mean, you know, I happen to be very good at this. That's not necessarily your individuality. The things that you're good at, maybe skills at, lav dafka, that creates your individuality. To understand what your individuality is requires an incredible amount of thought, requires an incredible amount of introspection. What makes me special? What makes me different than you? What makes me different than the rest of the klal? How am I unique? What are my unique gifts? What are my unique talents? And how do I utilize them in some way? That's Ubamosha of Leitzim, Lo Yashav. So if we bring this all together, it turns out that David HaMelech teaches us another incredible lesson. Again, all from one little phrase. The goal has remained the same for the last 4 weeks since we started this last semester. What's our goal? It's a very simple goal. I want to lead an Ashrei life. That's all I want. Sounds so simple, yet so profoundly complicated. I just want to lead a praiseworthy life. How do I do that? So again, we see four different approaches. First approach ultimately is, be careful how you talk. The letz is someone who talks in just such a disparaging, degrading way. Even if what you're saying is true, a Jew talks in a refined way. The Tzelem Elokim talks in a beautiful, respectful way. And yes, it is important to express ideas and important to express ideologies and thoughts and stances, but with respect, with polish, with refinement. Don't allow yourself to be debased. Don't talk the way the Leitzim speak. Even if what they're saying is true, it lacks such an element of finesse, such an element of holiness, such an element of refinement. Second approach, how do I avoid the Leitzim? Those are the individuals who talk about what they're going to do, but never do it. Don't fall into the trap of spending a lifetime planning what you're going to do and failing to execute. A little bit of planning is important. Too much planning sometimes, again, could lead to analysis paralysis. Too much planning also sometimes, again, overthinks things. So you have to plan a little bit. But don't spend your life talking about what you're going to do at the expense of doing it. The letz is the one who talks about all the grandiose plans, ideas, aspirations, goals that he or she has. David HaMelech says, you want to lead an Ashrei life, talk less and do more. Our third approach was the Ben Poras Yosef, who explained the letz is the person who never wants to introspect, because life is much easier if you don't introspect. But if you want to lead an Ashrei life, you have to look inward. Even if looking inward sometimes creates a little bit of personalistic discomfort, the only way to grow, the only way to accomplish, is to spend the time looking inward. And finally, our last approach, Rav Sham Shneur Nachman Hirsch, the letz is the one who thinks that the only worth of a person is his place within the community, is his place within the klal, is his place within the collective. But outside of the community, collective, nation, you have no worth. That is unequivocally true. That's Leitzanus. Each of us has this duality of personality. We have a place in the klal, an important role in the klal, in the collective, but we each also possess our own unique individuality. Our job is to figure out what contributions we can make to the klal, privileged to be part of the collective, but at the same time to discover and to maximize our unique personalistic individuality. And if we internalize these lessons, then as David HaMelech says, we will be Zocha Mirza Hashem to live a life of Ashrei Ha'ish. Live a life that's not just good. Live a life that's not just meaningful or holy, but a life ultimately, again, that's Ashrei, that's praiseworthy. We'll stop over here for today. I'm not sure about next week yet, about what we're going to do. I think we're going to stay in Kapitel Aleph, because it only took us 4 weeks to get to Pasuk Beis. So I have a good feeling, Emir Tashem, that I think by summertime we might get through this kapitel, Emir Tashem. But again, hopefully you'll indulge me. You see how much meaning there is in every single phrase, every single word. Looking forward to continuing Emir Tashem next week. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a wonderful rest of the week.
Thank you very much. Ladies, I know a bunch of people, I think, lost power in the middle of this year. So when I have a recording, I will email it out for the last 10 minutes. I think about 15 ladies had to drop off because of a power outage. So, and my flicker. So I will make sure that everybody gets that. So thank you very much, Rabbi.